Shire is a leading global specialty biopharmaceutical company with a focus on helping people with life-altering conditions to lead better lives. While Shire's portfolio of ADHD medicines helps patients diagnosed with ADHD, we recognize the need to provide additional support to them and their families. And that's why we at Shire value our local, regional, and international partnerships that are designed to develop and enhance programs to improve the understanding and awareness of ADHD. At Shire, people diagnosed with ADHD have our full attention. To learn more about Shire, visit www.shire.com.
Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Hello, everybody out there. This is Attention Talk Radio, and I'm your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper. With me in our virtual studio today is my co-host, Kirsten Milliken. Kirsten, how you doing?
I am terrific. How are you doing this evening, Jeff?
I'm doing good. We got a great show tonight, The Impact of ADHD on Higher Education. Real quickly, today is June the 27th in the year 2012 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I will tell everybody that this is actually pre-recorded due to some scheduling stuff. And as I said, our topic is the impact of ADHD on higher education, and Kimberly will be our guest. And we'll talk about it in a second. Real quickly, before we get into the meat of the show, a reminder for everybody, if you'd like to get a list of our upcoming shows, go to our facebook.com/attentiontalkradio page. There's a tab you can click where it says newsletters, advertisers, giveaways, and you can sign up for our newsletter, and twice a month you'll have our upcoming shows sent right to your inbox. If you're a Facebook person or you just like to go to the web, you can access all that stuff I just said and our archive shows at that same Facebook page. And as a reminder, it's not too early to make reservations for the 2012 CHAD conference in San Francisco, California, between November 8th and the 10th. For more information on that, go to chadd.org. I know that I'm looking forward to going out there, and if you go, look me up. I'd love to meet you and the fans. So I can't think. Kirsten, any other announcements you can think of?
That's all I can think of. I think you got it covered.
All right. Again, I think this is going to be a really interesting show tonight, the impact of ADHD on higher education. And I guess, Kirsten, can you just give a little intro to Kimberly, and we'll roll the show?
Absolutely. Kimberly actually recently completed law school, and she's expecting to take the bar exam this summer. But before entering law school, she was a very successful teacher at a community college, but was getting bored of teaching and wanted something else that was exciting in her life. She believed that the field of law was so broad that she couldn't possibly get bored. But not knowing that she had ADHD, she had focused on law school as she believed it to be and not as it really would be as an experience. So that is a little background on Kimberly.
It's a kind of classic, like ADD, just look at the label and jump to conclusion as to what it might be and what it might look like without doing any of the, digging into it. And I guess, again, everybody, this was pre-recorded. I think you'll enjoy it. There's a lot of insights that Kimberly has to offer. So without further ado, everybody, I give you the show. Okay, our show today is the impact of ADHD on higher education, and with us in our virtual studio is Kimberly, a law school graduate. Kimberly, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Really excited about this particular topic. Particularly, there's a lot of people out there with ADD that move into graduate school, whether it's medical school, law school, to get their MBA, and I think that your particular situation as being a law school student will be very enlightening for everybody, just on the experience of what it's like to go to higher level educations with ADHD. So I guess to begin, can you tell our listeners about what you were doing before you went to law school and what led to the decision?
I had been teaching for many years at that point, and it was exciting for the first few years while I was, you know, sort of developing a structure for how I would teach classes and sort of getting into a groove. And then after I'd done that, it became sort of repetitious, and I became bored.
Mm-hmm.
And I I wanted to develop a real career for myself, and the fear of boredom, which I guess is pretty typical with people with ADHD, was a pretty strong factor. And literally, as silly as this sounds in retrospect, I thought, you know, law touches every aspect of everything we do in society, mm-hmm. and so there will always be something to do, and the chances of getting bored will be much less. And so I happened to do really well on the LSAT, and that sort of eased the any doubts I would have had.
Uh-huh.
I think critical to that, though, had I known, like had I really understood what ADHD was and really accepted the fact that I had it, I don't know that I definitely would not have gone to law school when I did, and I don't know that I would have gone at all if I didn't have all of the skills and medication and other things in place that you would need to have in order to be successful in that environment.
When were you diagnosed?
I had a diagnosis, I think, about a year and a half before I started the law school application process. I came about that because I had a neighbor who was actually being treated for ADHD, and that turned out to not be his issue, but he was seeing a psychiatrist regularly, and I was complaining to him one day that, you know, I've lost my bank card so many times that when I go to the bank now to get it replaced, they kind of raise their eyebrows. And I think I had just lost my, you know, misplaced my keys for the 47th millionth time mm-hmm. that day. And he said, you know, it sounds like you might have ADHD. Why don't you go get it checked out? And so I went to this one psychiatrist who diagnosed me in about 20 minutes. And gave me a very expensive prescription for Concerta.
Uh-huh.
And although the Concerta helped, I was distrustful of the brevity of that diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
And because ADHD and the scattered thinking that you can have, like the inability to focus, that often mimics anxiety, I thought to myself, you know, this guy is just a pill pusher, and really I just need to meditate and get my anxiety under control and everything will be fine. And quite erroneously, I thought that, the structure provided by law school would give me the boost I needed to get my head in the right place, which shows you how little I knew about, you know, what was entailed in law school before I went. Because I think of any sort of graduate education environment that you could be in. I don't know anything about getting an MBA, but unlike many programs where you have projects and exams throughout the course of a semester, with the exception of legal writing or some writing-intensive course, with law school, you have one exam at the end of the year, and so that's not a whole lot of structure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're expected to, you know, form a study
yep.
group, prepare on your own, and then just spit everything out in those 3 hours at the end
yep.
of, you know, well, 8 or 9 weeks or 14 weeks.
Kimberly, because I want to talk about like that structure and the environment in a second, but just mm-hmm. to kind of recap, what I'm hearing is was the decision, you were kind of thought, hey, I'm going to go into law school because you were becoming bored in as a teacher in your prior profession?
Well, I simplified that.
Yep.
Be more in depth. I mean, I highlighted that because that might be typical for a lot of people. For my own personal reasons, I worked with a lot of students who had been impacted by the criminal justice system. I'd worked in, like, social service education
uh-huh.
environments. And working in those kind of positions, I often felt like I was putting a Band-Aid on the issue.
Uh-huh.
Whereas when you're actually dealing with the laws that impact people,
uh-huh.
you're dealing with the, you know, the other end of things, which is ultimately more effective.
Yep.
So, it's an oversimplification to say that I was bored, but that was part of it.
That was part of it. So, and you went off to get, you took your LSATs, and you did very well on those,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes, I guess I did.
Well, it's kind of interesting. Kirsten, when we were at the ACO conference, you know, we were talking to Rob Todisco, and everybody, maybe before or after the show, we're looking to have Rob on for a whole bunch of stuff, and we were talking just outside of this was fascinating to me about the LSATs. To get those, for those with ADHD, if you want accommodations, apparently it's a very challenging process. Kristen, you were there when we were talking about it, right?
I don't think I was there for that conversation, but you and I did speak afterwards, and I was quite familiar with the fact that it takes an act of Congress to get accommodations for tests like that, national tests.
It's exceptionally difficult. And here's what's interesting is if you actually do get the accommodations, at least right now, is that when your transcripts go to law school, so when the LSATs go, they actually write on it, scores earned under non-standard time conditions do not have the same meaning as scores earned under time standard conditions. So these scores are identified as non-standard. So I'm just kind of throwing this stuff out there, is that I'm not so sure a lot of people are really aware, at least right now, if you're applying to law school, one, it's difficult to get accommodations. And if you do, they're basically sending your scores on to the law school saying these are, you know, we're not so sure these are necessarily valid. And the American Bar Association has actually kind of come out just basically saying that the LSAT group needs to make an adjustment here. So I just kind of throw that out there for informational purposes because I'm not so sure a lot of people are aware of it. And so also you got diagnosed just before you were going into law school. And what I'm hearing is you started that process, but you really didn't
give that diagnosis a lot of credibility, like I said, because it seemed like, and again, that was that relationship with that particular doctor. Had I met with a different psychiatrist who did a more in-depth evaluation and with whom I had more of a rapport, I probably would have given it more credibility.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not entirely. Obviously, you can't place any blame for the consequences of your choices at one person's door.
I guess what's interesting to me is you're moving to law school, is basically you're like, you know, I'm kind of over this type of stuff. You've got the diagnosis, but for the most part, you're whistling Dixie going into it, you know, thinking that there's going to be a lot of structure in that environment and just thinking it's going to be real exciting because you're going to touch all kinds of different things, and how could law get bored? Is that an accurate summary?
Yeah, I think so. And I think also, I don't know that to clarify, I don't know that I thought law school would provide external structure.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that being in law school would give me the internal structure I needed.
Mm.
That just simply by being in that environment, I would somehow snap out of this disorganized,
thought process.
It would become typical. You would become typical, Cam. Am I right?
Yeah, exactly. Somehow going to law school would make me neurotypical, yeah. And ironically, it wasn't until I had, I'd been living with my now husband for a couple of years, and he kept saying, you know, there's something not right about you. And we had many arguments over, you know, my impression was that I'd been cleaning all day and the house was neat, and he'd come home and he'd see things that were half done, and once he pointed them out, I'd be like, oh, of course, I see it now, you know.
Uh-huh.
And it got to a point where he was trying to quit smoking, and every time he would try to quit, I would do some sort of ADD-related thing that would just set him off.
Wow.
So I finally said, look, you know, we have money left over in the flex plan. Let's go to a psychiatrist about your smoking issue and see if, you know, we'll both be there,
mm-hmm.
sort of get to know me, and see if ADD, you know, so you have an understanding of it. Because at that point, I had come to accept, you know, because there was no other stress in my life that I could contribute to anxiety, you know.
Uh-huh.
All the other excuses I had to say, well, I can't focus because of X, Y, and Z, those were no longer issues anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really had to look at, okay, there may be something different.
Yep, I get it. So,
mm-hmm.
I tell you what, Kimberly, we need to run to a break real quick.
Absolutely.
We come back. I kind of want to start transitioning, actually start talking about law school, the study environment, the structure that's mm-hmm. there to kind of give everybody a sense of what it's like to be in law school. So with that, everybody will be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
We are CHAD, the nation's leading nonprofit organization serving the community impacted by ADHD. CHAD and Attention Magazine provide science-based information about ADHD to families, professionals, the media, and the general public. Attention is the only publication in which your paid advertising promotes the mission of leadership, advocacy, research, education, and support for the ADHD community. Interested? Advertise in Attention Magazine and CHAD's website at chadd.org or call 240-487-2314.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
There's a new tool ADHD coaches across the country are recommending to their clients, and it's not a book, a dietary supplement, or a brain scan. It's the ADD Crusher video series, ADD-friendly, highly entertaining tools that are guaranteed to get results. And for a limited time, Attention Talk Radio listeners get 15% off. Go to addcrusher.com and use code ATR15 to start crushing your ADD right now.
ADD Crusher, 5 ways, 5 minutes a day. Crush your ADD.
This is your ADHD information station. Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back. So we are in the studio with Kim, and we're talking about the impact of ADHD on higher education. And before the break, we were talking to Kim about her past working as a teacher, sometimes with juveniles who were in the legal system, and how she felt somewhat bored and wanted to be more effective. And thought that law would be a good route, that she certainly couldn't be bored going to law school. She did well on the LSATs, but when she got to school, found that there was some struggle and really hadn't fully embraced her diagnosis of ADHD and what that meant. So, Kim, I want to hear a little bit more about how did things go once you got to school with studying and realizing that maybe some of the expectations were not true?
Well, I think, I'm trying to think how to best answer that.
The study environment that you were in, was it, I mean...
But you sort of have to create your own structure to study effectively in law school. They're not going to hold you by the hand and say...
You said before the break that you had actually thought that law school would almost create your own sense of structure for yourself, that you would do that.
Exactly.
There. And what did you find to be true?
I found that, obviously, that wasn't true. Also, for example, I would go to class, I would take notes, I would come back and I would sit down to study, and then in the evening I would think, God, I wish I there was so much to do and I only got a little bit of that done. So there was this constant sort of I'm not getting enough done quickly enough, which I now understand is pretty typical. You sort of have to factor in that things may take a little longer. I didn't understand why my mind wandered so much. And the way I sort of refer to it now, after having a competent diagnosis and having worked through a lot of things, is that the way at least my brain works in terms of ADHD is that if you think about it analogously to an iPad, I've got the main app running up front and a lot of other apps running in the background that I'm perhaps unaware of, consciously, as I'm doing something else. And so unless you're aware of how your brain works, it's very easy to just get into a rut when those distracted thoughts come in to say, God, why can't I just be more focused? Look at everybody else in this library. They're just, zen and really focused on what they're doing.
I have a picture of law school where you're just kind of sitting in, a library with 60-foot ceilings and books to the sky, and you're at a table and just sitting there for long periods of time, just reading and digesting information with little movement or anything. Is that a Is that in part real?
That's fairly accurate. Often law school libraries have study rooms, and you know, I once walked in on one person. I thought the study room was empty, and it turns out this person was on the floor doing push-ups, you know, for their study break. But yeah, you've got a large law library. You're supposed to be fairly quiet in a library, so people are typically sitting in front of their laptops, and they may not be as focused as you think they are, which is, you know, a good thing to keep in mind when you're comparing yourself to others. But law school is an environment where it's very easy to do that because your grades are all relative to the general performance in the class.
I want to answer here. I've coached some other people in higher-level education, med schools in particular. I remember there was one individual who there was a lot of, for med school, there was a lot of podcasts. And in an interesting vein, this person found themselves at home just having to watch podcasts over the computer. And what I'll kind of highlight here is if you don't know how you naturally learn and process information, it seems, at least in the work that I've done, it can be a real disadvantage. So this particular person wasn't very auditory. In other words, that wasn't their more dominant learning modality. So having to listen to or focus on a podcast was actually much more difficult than maybe a conversation or something. And not knowing how they learn was actually a liability to them, whereas they, hey, wait a second, I learn in this type of way to go seek ways to learn that are more conducive to you. So that and the fact that this particular individual that I'm also talking about was actually very kinesthetic learner, so really needed to be at a desk that was elevated so that they could actually stand and kind of move around. And so those elements of knowing how you learn and the environment that you're in, if you don't have your arms around some of that, it seems that you can just be thrown in and actually maybe in the wrong learning environment and trying to absorb information, which is more difficult and more difficult way for you to do it, which goes back to if you're going to go into this stuff, you need to know how you work and you need to know how your optimum so you can create that environment.
Absolutely. I mean, if there's one thing I would say to anybody who you know thinks they may have ADD and is considering law school, number one, get it checked out. And then number two is know yourself. Know how the ADHD affects you. Know the best way that you learn. And in addition to all the obvious benefits that come with that is that you're going to be less hard on yourself. You know, you're probably going to be less prone to say, okay, why can't I do it like this person? Because you'll know this is how I do it. This is what works best for me, and I'm just going to work the best that I can within that framework. Had I had a clear picture of that, had I known that how to harness those thoughts of distraction and focus them in a good way, I'm sure that law school would have been a much better experience. I think what can happen, and I didn't know about issues of hyperfocus and anything at that point. And I, in fact, one of the things I used to say to myself was, I couldn't possibly have ADHD because when I was a kid, I could focus so intently that I'd forget where I was.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would be sitting in the study corral thinking, why can't I just get back to that hyper-focus that I used to have?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why is because one of the distracted thoughts that kept coming up, you know, like the app running in the background, so to speak, was, oh my God, what if I don't do well on this test? What's going to happen in the future? How am I going to pay off all this debt? And it was very hard to rein in those sort of thoughts.
Mm-hmm. So with this environment stuff that we're talking about, I think one of the keys really is that if you're going to go into higher education, and this is not at all to discourage anybody from doing it, there's a ton of people who have ADD and thrive in these environments, but don't expect that you're going to learn how to manage your ADD, or don't expect you're going to learn how to study, or don't think you're going to learn that in higher levels of education. You need to, you know, have that nailed down before you go into that environment. Would you agree, Kimberly?
Absolutely. Yes, without a doubt, absolutely.
One of the things I'd like to kind of transition to is pressure, particularly in law school. Your grades, it's really kind of a competitive environment. It's more subjective than objective. Is that accurate?
Well, it's objective in the sense that you have an essay and, you know, professors have put a certain number of issues in that essay and they have a checklist that they kind of run down. Did you hit this issue, and this issue? And so in that sense, it's objective. It's not like they're reading your essay and then grading how they subjectively feel about your writing.
Mm-hmm.
What is subjective is how many of those issues your classmates caught, you know, and because there can only be so many A's, so many B's, so many C's, where you fall in relation to everyone else.
So you're actually competing. So, you're, for grades, it's not at, you're not trying to get to a certain level of knowledge, but you're actually competing against everybody for grades.
In a sense, yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not like, okay, if you out of the 20 issues on this exam, if you caught 15 of them, you automatically have an A. That's not really how it works, no.
Yeah, so you could walk in, let's say just hypothetically you're in a smaller law school, and for whatever reason, the class that you're coming in, there's some people that are just off the charts brilliant. You're smart, but you're actually competing against those. So if there's, let's say, in your class, there's five, like, just absolutely bright people, and they're only giving out four A's, and, you know, you're, like, right there is that, you know, you're really kind of competing. You can know the material, but because there's that many people ahead of you, you'll get a B in that particular situation, let's say.
Yeah, and there was actually an article in the Wall Street Journal, I believe, a while back about how law schools will give out merit scholarships for students who, you know, have particularly high SAT scores or grade point averages, et cetera. And you have to keep a certain GPA in order to keep that scholarship. And quite often they'll put a lot of the people who have that scholarship will be in the same section, so that by the next year, you pretty much guaranteed that only a third of the people who got that scholarship will still have it by the end of the
Kirsten,
year.
Can you imagine? You get a scholarship, you know, you're all excited for the financial reasons, and then you're in a class and you're competing, and only a third of the people who get the scholarship end up keeping it for grades.
I'm thinking about the internal pressure combined with the external pressure of that situation and how overwhelming it would have been.
Not to mention is if you weren't prepared and you're in an environment that doesn't have the structure that you're looking for and you're struggling to kind of keep up, it's just, to me, it's just going to be overwhelming.
Compounding, all compounding. Kimberly, I have to wonder how you got through that.
Kimberly,
mm-hmm.
You, in addition to all that stuff, you actually have the money pressures that are on top of everything that's kind of going on. Once you kind of got through that pressure cooker and kind of got done, how would you say your self-esteem was compared to when you went in? You graduated law school. I mean, are you like, you're all, you know, wow, this is a real thing? Or at this point in time, are you just like injured and wounded and like, oh, my God, that was a struggle. Can you speak to that?
Well, I kind of want to separate out maybe at this point the law school effect and the ADHD effect.
Okay.
Because I think that...
Actually, I tell you what, I think that's mm-hmm. brilliant. Can we take another break real quick so that we can have some time for you to delve in? Because I really like that split in your thoughts. So let's go to a break, and we'll come back, and we'll get right into it, okay?
Okay.
With that, we'll be right back after this message.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
I'm Jeff Copper, host of Attention Talk Radio, here to talk to you about CopyTalk.com, a voice dictation service. This is not just some voice dictation software. It's a real dictation service by people who type whatever you want. When I need to document something, all I do is hit speed dial on my cell or work phone and start speaking. The folks at CopyTalk will type it up and email it back to me that day. The best part is I can dictate as many 4-minute messages as I want, all for one flat monthly fee. Go to copytalk.com/ATR, enter Jeff Copper as the referrer's name, and sign up for the free trial account today. If you tell them I sent you, then you'll get $20 off the monthly subscription for as long as you keep the service.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We have Kimberly in our virtual studio, and Kirsten and I are, I think, learning a lot here about the ins and outs of higher education. Just before the break, Kimberly, we were talking about... we were talking a little bit about pressure and stuff like that. You wanted to kind of separate law school issues and ADHD issues. Can you kind of jump in and just kind of run with that? Because you got me really intrigued with this.
Sure. So, like I said before, when I was in law school and up until fairly recently, I didn't accept or fully understand that I truly did have ADHD. So I thought that my lack of organization, my inability to have that laser-like focus, was simply a matter of lack of will or laziness. You know, the title of that seminal book, You Mean I'm Not Lazy, Crazy, or Stupid, right? And so to sit down with a very thoughtful and compassionate psychiatrist who not only explained to me but explained to my husband that there is a neurochemical basis for that was tremendous. And so I think anybody who has struggled with those issues, once you find out, okay, it's not just my lack of effort that makes my life like this, but there really is a reason for it, that relieves a lot of depression, a lot of self-loathing, and a lot of guilt.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that I can't, you know, and then to tie that into the law school aspect, I think that I left law school thinking, oh, my God, if I had just tried harder, if I had just made myself focus, if I had just made different choices at juncture A, B, C, D, and E, this could have turned out much better. And so those two things, I wanted to separate them, but in that sense, they're also interrelated. I don't think that anybody who goes into law school knowing themselves well, knowing how they best learn, having an understanding of what the educational environment is and what's expected of them, and then also understanding how, you know, the profession of law works. I think if you go into it with all those understandings and you've done the best that you can, you know, that's all you can really do. I think that people who tend to go to law school, there's a tendency toward perfectionism, a tendency to want to be successful. And so naturally, if you were less than perfect and less than successful, you're going to have that less than happy feeling about yourself at the end. And that would be one of the things also, regardless of whether somebody had ADHD or not, to be successful in law school, you really have to let go of perfectionism, to trust yourself, know that you're doing the best that you can, and focus on one day at a time and sort of be in the moment. The tendency to sort of think, you know, about finals at the end when you're like in the third week of the semester is absolutely deadly.
So I guess one of the things I'm hearing you say is that, you know, if you go into this with eyes wide open, totally prepared, you know your learning environment, you know what you're getting into, and you're ready to, you know, go and make the proper adjustments and stuff, you know, you're okay. But if you kind of go in and you don't know yourself, you don't really know the environment, stuff like that, it can, and you have the added pressure on it, when you come out of it, it can be like, wow, what just happened? A little bit of soul searching when it's over with, trying to sort through, well, what really did happen there, and why was this, you know, it was a lot more difficult than just the craziness and maybe a little bit overwhelming, that it might take you a little while to kind of recover from that, well, what just happened kind of thought.
Yeah, because your future after law school is substantially different than it was before you went. So now you have, for many people, myself included, lots of debt that is going to have an impact on your life for decades to come. And the way the law school profession works after you graduate is, you know, you either are hired on as a junior attorney with a law firm that obviously needs your assistance to do its business, or you have to set up your own shop. And obviously, if you're an attorney who has very little experience, that's hard to do. So I think there's a lack of understanding, perhaps all the way around, about how the law school profession actually works, or the law profession actually works in terms of hiring and what you need to do to be successful. You know, you can have all of the legal knowledge in the world and be able to spew it out in a memo or an exam, but if you don't have the social ability to attract and bring in clients, you know, you're sort of dead in the water.
Absolutely. Sounds
like they didn't really give you a lot of those practical business skills that you might need.
Exactly, yeah. But knowing the law is one thing. Knowing how to run a small business is another thing, and you need both components to be successful.
Well, we've got about two minutes left. Kirsten, anything from your perspective that you'd like to ask Kimberly?
I guess the one question I had was, I realized that, you know, you didn't have the perspective maybe on the impact that your ADHD was having on you going in, and now you have some of that. And I'm wondering, though, have you thought about it in retrospect, teasing out, was there something that could have been different for you from the administrative standpoint? Like, is there something that law schools or graduate programs need to think about as far as supporting students who do have ADHD?
Well, again, the trick with that question is I didn't know that I had it, and I don't know that I would have accepted that I had it even at that time. With the issue of student loan debt, I mean, it's sort of a hot button issue in the country generally. I think the best thing that institutions of higher education could do is make those things clearer to students. Like, in addition to the academic skills, these are the emotional skills that you need to be successful in this environment. And these are some things you might want to consider, you know, if you have any of these tendencies, lack of organization, the typical traits that somebody with ADHD might have, you might not want it, you know, law school may not be the best environment for you. And there will be many people who would say, you know, well, that's sort of a nanny state approach to the issue. I don't know that short of, you know, because that's a tricky issue. It's not a law school's, it's not any institution's job to diagnose people with ADHD. And particularly in an environment like law school where, you know, mental health issues can creep in regardless of, it's hard to pinpoint that.
Well, the only thing I'm taking is it'd be helpful if they had resources that were there to help those. But what your discussion really reminds me of is a show that we did last summer with Rachel Mason up at Landmark College. She works in the admissions side, and she basically kind of like works with those with ADHD that are kind of coming to school, because many of them come in not knowing what's going on. She talks about the first 6 weeks, whether getting a coach or getting a tutor or getting somebody else to kind of help that person kind of get settled, kind of get organized, and provide a little bit of structure up front. What I'm hearing is if the schools provided that, the law schools, it would be great, but if not, maybe the individual going in might set those structures up and would kind of help them kind of transition into that environment.
Yeah, and I think you know, it's different when you're dealing with an undergraduate who's 18, 19 years old versus an adult who is, yep, you know, late 20s, perhaps even 30s. If there was any one takeaway message, the responsibility really is on you as an individual to understand what it is you're getting into,
mm-hmm,
and to understand yourself, and to know that if you've had those kind of struggles in the past, it you know, wherever you go, there you are,
yep,
right? The environment's not going to change that. And I think the reason I thought that was because I had been fairly successful as an undergrad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because the structure was different. The pressure was not nearly as much. And so I mistakenly thought, yeah, go ahead.
Those that I have coached that were actually in graduate school, the one thing I can tell you marketably is that the structure decreases substantially from undergraduate to graduate. There's a little less time in class and a lot more time just self-learning, hitting the books. And if you go into that, I mean, again, this is not to discourage anybody. If anything, I encourage people to consider higher education, but go in with your eyes open and realize that you need to have those structures and stuff in place in order to thrive. So, Kimberly, with that, thank you very much for coming on the show. This has been exceptionally delightful. And Kirsten, it's great to have you on the show, as always. So with that, thank you very much. And everybody, catch the next edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.